dance on the floor. This is the K-Pop Cast, and in this episode, we discuss the war between HYBE versus Adore's Minhee Jin over the rights to manage NewJeans. TXT in your Lucky Charm cereal, K-pop groups like ATEEZ and LaSeraphim at Coachella.
We also got hella excited about ATEEZ coming to North America on their tour, and Waterbomb LA, sexy body rolls up and down the West Coast.
you like that?
Well done, Stephanie. I'm just reading Thank what you. Stephanie wrote here. We get into that as well as long-awaited comebacks from Lay from EXO and Samuel Kim.
I would love to see Lay have body rolls up and down the West Coast. I'm just saying.
Oh, that would be a good one for Waterbomb.
Lay and Waterbomb.
And Samuel Kim at Waterbomb as well.
I don't know. That's a conflicting, like, I'll clutch my noodle pearls at that.
He's 22.
He's eligible. Okay. He's eligible.
When I think of Samuel, I think of like little 11-year-old, like long-haired trainee boy, the shortest dancing to Super Junior song.
Or a song 16.
Yeah. We covered a lot of ground this episode.
Yeah.
There's a lot of big news drops in K-pop this week. And it shows we're getting ready to head into summer. All the scandal and all the sexiness.
All we needed in this news cycle was a dating scandal to drop.
That was missing.
That would have completed the K-pop.
The bingo card of...
We got solo debuts, we got disbandments, we got like a whole bunch of things.
Yeah,
like
concert tour drops.
Panchoa got sued.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
I would like it if it was like JYP or
a dating scandal with JYP.
Yeah, dating
like if all these guys are like super young idol. No, thank you.
Is he still married?
We never hear about that.
It would be a more fun dating scandal if it turned out like these label execs were dating each other or something. That would make me
mean Heejin in a relationship with JYP. Ooh. Oh my god.
Anyways, before we get into all of those juicy, juicy topics, don't forget to join the K-Pop Cast listener fam on Slack and help chip in for our editing costs. Links to those in the episode description.
And now for our hit replays. Replay.
Hello, everyone. I'm Syed from Genius Korea. It's the Big Yellow Lyric website.
I'm Stephanie.
And I'm DJ Peter Lowe.
And hello, everybody. It's your PD and Michaela, and hit replays are our K-pop song recommendations for the week. So, Peter, kick us off. What is your hit replay?
Oh my god, I have to even like find the name of my own hit replay. What? What? I didn't even realize like my hit replay had a song name, but I guess it's BBB, which stands for Big Booty Something. I'm willing to bet. I don't know. I don't know what it stands for. But what can make you guess? I forgot where I was going with this. Okay, it's my hit replay by Lila Mars and Toil. If
I'm saying their names correctly. Toil.
Yep. Featuring The Quiet.
You didn't know? I didn't. I found out 5 minutes ago. let's see. Lila Mars is a South Korean rapper and singer. He was a contestant on Show Me the Money Season 5. And he debuted with his album Why in 2017. In 2019, he joined... guys, help me here.
Doki.
Yeah. And the quiet sub-level Ambition Music with a K. At the end, not a C, a K. There's a K in music.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was also featuring Toil, if I'm saying his name right, who is a South Korean producer. And it's a hit replay because it's goofy. It's got a really good beat, y'all. Like,
right.
I was preparing for a gig I had this last weekend, a 420 K hip hop K R&B gig. I was just, you know, trying to research, like, you know, I was just listening to stuff, and this came up in my recommendation algorithm. This song came out in 2022.
Of course it did. Of course it came up in your recommendation algorithm, Peter.
Yeah. What?
Yes. Okay. Before the show, Peter showed us this video and was like, this is my hit replay. And I was like, oh, so typical. And he was like, why? I was like, well, let's count the ways. Talks about booty, shows booty. It's just like a really simple message.
Right.
It does have a good bouncy beat that's reminiscent of 2 p.m. Hands Up. It reminds me of
that. Yeah.
Put your hands up. And I know you like to play that at your gigs. And just the irreverent, goofy humor of everybody in the video just had me crying. So I was like, yeah, this is Peter coded all the way.
Yeah, they're committing to the goofy bit. And yes. I think what's also funny is that there's, you know, like every guy likes to pretend they've got game, you know? And this is kind of making fun of that, where it's like, oh man, like, you know, I was with this girl and like, you know, she was so into me. And then, you know, it kind of shows themselves imagining themselves how they think they are. And then it kind of shows them in reality. So there's just a lot of that going on here. So it was pretty funny. What I think is also really funny about this music video, if you look at the YouTube description, it shows you the credits and it's just seeing like the roles. It's really funny. Like Viking man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone had that role, or someone had the role of being the crush. That was Camo, if I'm saying her name correctly, the K-R&B.
Yeah.
The main subject, the girl with apparently the big butt that they're talking about here. But yeah, yeah. It's good.
Yeah, I knew when I saw the Korean title before I listened to it, which is 엉덩이가 큰 근년. So I knew right away that it was just going to be all about butts.
Yep.
Big booty
girl.
What? Oh, big booty girl.
Yeah, it just means like something.
Yeah.
Wait. Is that what it means in Korean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
I won't mind seeing a short web series drama inspired by this.
Ooh.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
Like the whole like setting in a police station and like detectives and police officers like being so tired of their jobs and just like daydreaming the entire time. It was like very reminiscent of K-dramas.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole world here.
Yeah. Very silly. Okay. Who's next? Sayed, you're up next. So what's your hit replay?
Okay, so my hit replay is the Better Easy that was released this year.
The Better Easy.
Besides the Dig at La Seraphim, Easy is the latest offering by singer-songwriter Sean. For those of you who don't know him, believe me, you know him.
Right.
He's the soloist who has gone viral like several times over the past couple of years. His biggest hit was Way Back Home, Bad Habits, and more recently, Steal the Show with Thai singer Jeff Satur. I think that's how you pronounce his name. But yeah, it's my hit replay because it's a really easy listen. It's a very just soft pop song. I discovered it because accidentally, like I thought it was a cover of the La Seraphim song because it was released like literally 10 days after the La Seraphim song, which is brilliant marketing from Sean's team.
Right.
But yeah, it's like, it's interesting because like most of the comebacks that I've liked so far this year have been very dramatic and cinematic. And so this song is like a nice change of pace in my playlist. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Oh, I mentioned this before. Like, I love Sean. Like, he goes viral for a reason. Like, all of his songs are, well, you know, easy listening, but they're also just like really good. He's an amazing vocalist.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. His vocals really shine in this one.
Yeah, lately I've come to appreciate the value of good vocals in K-pop.
Recently, after how many years?
Recent events has made me better appreciate good singing in K-pop. And, you know, it just so effortlessly delivers and hits his notes. So, yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Stephanie, what's your hit replay?
My hit replay is Valentine by Wonstein, a smooth R&B track with really cute lyrics and breezy vocals floating over.
My funny Valentine, you've got a mandola. My funny Valentine, my funny Valentine, my funny Valentine, 내 일을 걱정 안 해. My funny Valentine.
So Wonstein is a rapper and singer. I know him mostly as a singer. He has a really right. nice voice.
Yeah.
He debuted in 2018, but he really got popular after showing up in Show Me the Money Season 9 in 2020, and then joining a fun R&B super group, MSG Wannabe. Get it? MSG Wannabe? LOL.
Wait, why the Wannabe?
Oh, because SG Wannabe is like an actual legendary R&B group. SG. Oh.
Wait, I just got it.
So oh my god.
Because there is a WSG wannabe too. Like yeah, the girl yeah, version
true.
Of it.
True, so. True, yes.
That yeah. makes so much sense now.
I'm so happy I could be here for that moment.
Yeah. Yep, there you go. All the connections, all the tie-ins with K-pop history.
Mm-hmm.
So Wonstein, the artist, he's known, like I said, for his unique voice. He kind of has a higher boyish voice that in yeah. interviews he says he used to hate his voice because it was like a baby voice and people would make fun of him. But now look at him, wildly successful, kind of gender bending elements in his voice. And he's living up that image as well with his long curly hair that makes people wonder if he's a foreigner, if he's mixed race. No, he's full-blooded Korean, but he's just like
he goes
okay.
to a good shop for the perm.
yeah, for sure. Sometimes he like perms it up really crinkly like, and sometimes it's more just long and wavy. Mm-hmm. So that's his looks. But the reason why this song is a hit replay is, for me, I'm hearing a lot of like classic neo-soul R&B instrumentation, an understated funky bass line where Wonstein's like easy, dreamy vocals float over it really well. I especially appreciate when he just like easily steps up to high notes in the hook. And gotta give credit to some folks I saw in the song credits who were a part of making this song: Zion T, executive producer, and Sloan. So these are two like other successful R&B artists / producers. And also the lyrics are really cute. It's just talking about normal domestic life at home, chilling with your lady friend on your IKEA sofa. I think he mentioned the IKEA sofa like 4 or 5 times. So I think that's probably accurate to his home. But yeah, it was just a cute track for the week.
I really like the music video. It was just him giving
yes.
like zero Fs and just like recording at home.
Yeah. I forgot to mention the video. It's a self-made music video, apparently. Yeah. Just self-recorded at home.
Yep.
Where he's like filming his cat and him pretending to play guitar in the mirror and then falling on the slopes on his snowboard, it looks like.
And yeah. his cat is always glaring at him, judging him.
Oh, glaring. Oh, I wow. Okay.
Which is how we've all felt like that, doing weird things in front of our cat. No, just me.
No, okay. No, yes. yeah, no. I love Wonstein. This is one of those days where I give thanks to Mad Clown for establishing the label Beautiful Noise, because we get such, you know, just like weird, quirky, beyond the norm solo artists like Wonstein, like Zayor Park, like Cheon. Yep. I'm like, "Oh, thank you."
But I know him more as a songwriter. So I was like really mm-hmm. curious about the lyrics for this song because he has written for some really big artists.
Yeah.
Including EXO, Stio, on his Empathy album, I believe. But yeah, like I know him more from his songwriting credits and things like that. So mm-hmm. it's a cute song.
Yeah. And like other, he collaborated with,
He collaborated with Taeyong. Love and, Theory.
That was like one of the best collaborations, true. I think, for him, because you have Taeyong who also
from
has.
NCT, yeah.
From NCT, who also has kind of similarly has more of like that lighter, nasally voice when he's rapping or singing. And, you know, unapologetically, so they just match together so well.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I really liked that track too, Love Theory.
Can I ask, what is the best setting to play this song? And like, where if you were to recommend someone listen to the song, where should they play it? When should they play it? How should they play it?
Ooh, honestly, I think this is a chilling at home song. Maybe doing some light cleaning, washing the dishes. That.
Doing chores.
Yeah. Just having folding, that on in the
folding
background.
Folding laundry.
Yeah.
Maybe, vacuuming your IKEA sofa.
Feeding your cat.
Though I like to listen to Yes or Yes by Twice when I'm vacuuming. Just putting it out there. Yeah. It's a really good vacuuming song.
That's specific. I'll have to try that.
Yeah. For me, cleaning is more of a faster upbeat, but that's good.
You're trying to get it done.
Yeah, I need like the perk, the energy.
Maybe a chore that feels meditative to you that you enjoy, to be specific. Mm.
Do you have one of those, Peter?
Maybe not.
Usually it requires a lot of like mental concentration that I can't. Like this would be like, I feel like you need this. Like you need to pay attention to it, even though it's like ambient and airy. Like it feels like the substance demands like intellectual attention and justice, you know?
I feel that.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, at least the first few listens. Yeah. To really appreciate the layers.
Okay. PDM, last but not least.
Yeah, wrapping it up as always with the best hit replay of the week.
Strong words.
No judgment. Okay.
My technically qualifying song, after 5 long years, Samuel Kim is back with his English EP and the title track. God. Yeah, yeah. For those of you who don't know who Samuel Kim is, it's probably a lot of people because, like I said, he's been gone for 5 years. And
it's a shame.
Yeah, it's and to be honest, I was so surprised when I saw this. Allegedly, they were like teasers for this release, but I was literally just going through my music streaming platform, and then all of a sudden, I saw this, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, is this the time? Is it now? Is it finally Samuel is making his return to music?" Because he's one of those artists that I've like followed from pre-debut to till now. And it's just so exciting to have seen his journey. So for the people that don't know who he is, he got his start really as part of the project, like the 17 project group. Like he was part of 17 TV. He was supposed to debut with 17 back when, you know, they originally planned for there to be 17 members. But he was only 11 at that time. And so, allegedly, like, his mom thought he was maybe too young, or maybe there were some other things, but he was very young and didn't end up debuting with 17. In between, he leaves Pletus and joins Brave Music, and Brave Music picks up another one of Pletus's trainees that didn't debut in 17 and creates the duo One Punch with him and Samuel and his other member, One. They had like a single that didn't really work out. So he was kind of in this like solo era. He really got popular by being on the second season of Produce 101, that first season with the guys. He's one of those people who was very popular, and it was really surprising that he didn't make it into the final group. And with what we know about that season now and how Mnet ran a lot of the produce, there was probably like an intentional force working against him probably in the group, or, you know, but that's just me making accusations. There's no credible facts to that. But again, really popular as a soloist. He debuts in 2017, I believe, under Brave Music as a soloist, and puts out a few singles, does some collaborations. And then in 2019, his father tragically passes away. And later that year, he files a lawsuit against Brave Entertainment to end his contract and forms his own label, Samuel Management and Entertainment Music Group, to go solo on his own. And he finally just won his lawsuit in 2021. And so now he's free from Brave Music, able to produce his own music. And now in 2024, we finally get that music. And this is his debut all English EP. And Yeah Yeah is the title track. And let me tell you, I had a very similar experience with Howlin's new EP and this song, because it is, he's very much acting grown with these lyrics. It's very clear that sex is involved in them. And I'm a little
okay, like, I have to step in on
baby
this.
Samuel.
Yeah.
Samuel Arredondo Kim.
It is in English, so I can definitely interpret what he is putting down with these lyrics. But yes, okay. Syed, go on.
I transcribed this album because
yes. You needed to know for yourself.
That's why I got the lyrics off of Genius Korea.
So this album, he started teasing this album like early March, late February time. Mm-hmm. And he released a track list and everything. And there were music video teasers and all of that thing, all of those, you know, things that go along with the comeback.
Yeah.
All on his Instagram. So he did not have a proper working Twitter.
I don't follow.
He didn't have a proper working Twitter up until like last night. But yeah, like I was transcribing it. I was like, okay, he's definitely trying to be a bit more mature, a bit more bold. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really get that much like, or maybe I'm just like jaded because like IM released his EP and like he is very explicit in that EP. Right. And then BM has been talking like whatnot on Twitter. So like listening to Samuel, I was like, okay, he's trying to be that, but like he's not there yet. It's mm-hmm. definitely sexy. It's definitely like, you know, a lot of like romantic lyrics. And I was thinking about maybe he could have like a little bit more of a like I made it kind of song. But Yaya is like the only one. And so, yeah, it's an interesting direction. I enjoyed it. It's a nice mix of like hip hop and R&B. And yeah, like he's doing different things with his voice. But yeah.
Right. That was the most surprising thing. Like how I had to double check when I pressed play because I was like, is this really Samuel?
I know. That's what I thought. Is this like a producer tag or something? Like someone else is talking?
Right. Because there's a few sections where he's in a lower range that you're not. And again, not used to seeing because most of his previous singles were like very poppy and his like young teenager voice. Now he's 22.
Yeah.
Okay, can I ask what is Yeah Yeah? What is it about?
Syed, you know you studied the lyrics the most.
Hold on. So it's basically like him declaring that it's still him. Like the chorus is like still me, feel me, and like he's on like a reload sort of like, you know, he's redebuting, but it's still him. Which
I see.
Yeah, and Yeah Yeah is just like the hook of the song and then turned it into the song's title. But yeah, it's very like spoken rap style of music, I guess. Yeah. I like the line that they said, he has a lyric in this there where it's like, I'm the proof of putting in that time, which like really shows what he did. Like he really persevered, I honestly think, like going through that lawsuit with Brave Entertainment of all companies, and then like winning that lawsuit. And he's just 22. So that means like all of that happened during his like teenage era.
And I wonder just wordplay wise, if proof is in the pudding inspired that phrase too. Or maybe, I don't know, if he's on that level.
Well, cool. I mean, singing in English, I think, gives credit to that. So, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, he's a native speaker.
And that was another, like, one of the biggest things I was so surprised by, the fact that this was a full English EP. Like, being, you know, a semi-native English speaker previously, like, he's grown up most of his life in Korea. So, like, when I think of Samuel, I think of him more like a Vernon from 17, or like a, what's that model's name? Han Hyunmin?
Okay.
Of people who might look more international, but are to their core are Korean. So it's really interesting to see that instead of coming back with a Korean EP and like re-debuting as like a Korean artist, he's choosing to start first with the international.
Yeah. I will also say like this is an independent release. True. So he does not have a major label. And it's basically him and his like little group of friends trying to make it. So yeah, like production value and stuff, like it's definitely a bit lower than what you might remember from his like teenage and I'm the One.
Yeah,
and
he was like, under Brave Entertainment.
Yeah,
16.
Candy.
He had a song with Silento. Or no, what's his name? That rapper that went viral. You know what I mean. Mikaela.
Yeah. I didn't mention it for a reason. Because it's such
a... There's a joke here. I'm not kidding.
Remind us.
Well, yeah, he went to jail, but like, okay.
Oh, I'm trying to remember what award show it was. But there was award show where Silento was a guest performer, and he and Samuel collaborated, I think, on their version of Whip and Nay Nay or something like that.
The Army there is history in
that's,
this.
That's where that famous gif of Taeyong hitting the Nay Nay in a crowd, that's where that comes from.
Yeah. Okay, there is history behind this, though. So, like, after that stage collaboration, they collaborated on a song together called Spotlight. And it won the Global Collaboration Award at Seoul Music Award. And then he joined him on tour in the US in like 2016.
Oh, see, so, I didn't know that.
Like, it was a successful like collaboration thing. It's just unfortunate that, you know, whatever happened
the
to Silento.
The artist he collaborated with at the time.
Yeah. Ended up
at the risk of like making this section too long. Can I ask the same question I asked Stephanie? Like, where would you listen to this, or how are you supposed to listen to it?
I have the perfect answer, because I literally just did it when I first time squatted 200 pounds in the gym. Like, it just
Yay!
Like,
tell him
it was I was
back
on my way to the gym, and I was like looking for music, and this just like got me so energized, and like the whole EP is like hip hop, R&B, pop. Like, it just, there's just so much energy to it, and I was so excited to hear his voice.
Am I gonna see you in like the surprise like final episode of like Physical Bay?
Who knows? You know,
or season 3.
I do lift, so we'll see.
Okay. Okay.
Nice. Okay.
Physical Bay kick on.
Oh my gosh, that's genius.
Yeah, they should shoot something in that style. That would be really funny.
Okay. Forget random dance play.
Right?
Oh, yeah, physical
random dance. Lift. We'll throw weights on the ground and see who can actually lift them.
All right, so it's time to move on to popular songs for the week. So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So these are the top 10 most covered K-pop cover dances by dance teams as of this week. So April 22nd, 2024. So coming in at number 10, we've got ITZY, Born to Be. Hey, they're back on the list. Viva's Maniac. Number 8, we've got Yojo Idol, Super Lady. Number 7, we've got aespa Drama, still on there.
Ooh.
Number 6, we've got TXT Deja Vu. Okay.
Yay.
Number 5, we've got La Seraphim Easy at 54 new covers. Okay.
What? Only
yeah, so 54 is actually kind of a lot.
Dethroned.
Right.
Yeah.
But 54, I would say it's not a small number of weekly covers. And then number 4, we've got Kiss of Life, Midas Touch, of course, at 56.
Love that.
Number 3, you want to guess what it is?
Smarter.
Yeah, Smart still up there?
It is not number 3, but can you guess what is number 3?
Sheesh.
Yep, you got it, Stephanie.
Oh, my God. I'm on a roll. Sheesh.
Okay, yeah, Baby Monster. And then number 2. You guys got this one. I know you know what number 2 is.
Smarter?
Smart, yeah, by Le Sserafim.
Oh, Smart,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, we make fun of the smata wata thing, but okay. All right, and I know you guys are going to get this. What's number 1?
Number 1.
Magnetic?
Yes, Islet? Sir. Magnetic. Okay. Islet.
Yeah. That makes sense.
We got it.
I played all these songs at the club this last weekend, yeah, actually, all the songs on this list in the top 10 I played. And I got in trouble for playing Illit Magnetic because it was a K-hip-hop, K-R&B night. And then a bunch of people jumped up on stage and they danced to it. Oh, and by the way, I also did the goofy thing where they say, what is it? You what, you know, in the chorus where they're counting their hands or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I did... Shush, 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 shush. from Baby Monster. And then one of the dancers on stage got the joke and did the Baby Monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out Aaron for getting that.
Nice.
But yeah. Anyway, so that's your top 10 K-pop covers for this week. Oh, yeah, but I got in trouble because, people are like, what's up with this girly stuff on a K-hip-hop night? Yeah, mm-hmm. I got in trouble for that.
You'd think at
this is our one event, the
420 event, people be more chill, yeah?
Well, Magnetic at 420, you know, it didn't go over.
Yeah.
I mean, I, truthfully, there was a group of, like, big Asians who are like, we need more girl groups. And then, like, you know, then you've got the K-R&B heads who came in like, okay, you know. Want more of this. And then there are the straight girls who are like, I want Sriracha or Sriracha and Sriracha and Stray Kids and 80s. So it's like I was working with like those three factions at the gig this last weekend.
You can't keep everybody happy.
Yeah, so it just made everyone a little bit upset. So, you know.
Success.
Right. Okay. Hot issue. Here's the story. Okay, go ahead. Kick us off, Sad. What's your hot issue?
Okay, so the hottest thing this past week was
Coachella. Might be hottest number 2, which we'll get to in a minute, but no, go ahead, Coachella, yes.
But yeah, the hottest thing this past week was Coachella. Both weekends, streaming live on YouTube, and we had 80s becoming the first K-pop boy group to perform at Coachella. We had Le Sserafim. I believe they're the first, like, fourth-gen girl group to be invited, like, independently.
See what you did there?
Yeah. And then we had The Rose, which, indie band. I don't think they are the first indie band to perform at Coachella.
Wait, where does Epic High rank in terms of paving the way firstness at Coachella?
They were the first, I think, like, Korean act to be invited to Coachella for an independent set list.
Boy group? Yeah. No.
No.
No. No. Not an idol group.
No.
Okay.
I don't think Tablo will agree with that.
Yeah, they did. They did show up.
I paved the way for everyone that is paving the way.
Yeah.
And then we also had 88 Rising once again putting on a collaborative and collective stage, I guess, for like different artists from the Asian diaspora, which featured BB and Jackson Wang and other Japanese artists. Number I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tiger JK. Yeah, Tiger JK was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. With his wife.
With and his Tasha. Wife.
Yeah, who's not just Tasha his wife. There.
And their daughter, BB. So
wait, what?
Those three really come into
play. I wonder what their actual child Jordan is up to.
Right? I was thinking about that.
Where's Jordan? Anyways, go ahead.
But yeah, it got everyone talking about 80s was like the hottest topic during Coachella. And
speaking of fans being upset about the camera work issue of
oh
the
my God.
Yeah. What was going around.
So yeah, the first weekend, apparently the camera work was terrible. They could not figure out how to zoom out, apparently. And they were just focused on one member. And then once they did figure out how to zoom out, they would focus on the wrong member. So,
yeah,
so
which is a little bit more to it than that. Someone would be singing on the right side of the stage, but the camera's on the left looking at somebody else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then the biggest one was when Hong Jung, he was doing his rap from Crazy Form, and the camera was focusing on the guys who were just standing on the side, like waiting for their turn. It was just like, what is going on? Like, did nobody rehearse this before ahead of time? But they redeemed themselves on the second weekend because they did a really good job on the second weekend. They focused on the right bits. Woo Young twerking during Crazy Form. They moved the camera down to focus on his ass. So you know they did their homework. Like somebody did their homework.
They read the comments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also all the memes making fun of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That was, yeah. What else with the ATs? Well, this sort of kicked off their U.S. sort of rollout for their tour. Because they just dropped tour dates. Yeah, they just dropped their tour dates. They just announced a brand new album coming next month. And yeah, I think they're going to like really have a breakout moment after this.
I love what Yuno said. It was like for them, they debuted with a music video that they did in the Sahara Desert, and they performed on the Sahara stage for the first time. And I was they truly are just living in this moment and are so proud and excited to be doing this.
Yeah, I remember Hong Jung said something along the lines of like how they perform. They used to practice in LA before they debuted in this tiny little dance studio.
Back when they were the KQ fellas.
KQ fellas. And like now, like a full circle moment for them to come back and like perform at this huge stage. And not just as like a, you know, invited by like 88 Rising or something. It's like a full set of like 50 minutes. They get to showcase everything that they got. So... yeah, and they drank barley tea apparently on stage. So
So it wasn't alcohol.
It wasn't alcohol. Yosang exposed them on Bubble. Apparently, it was barley tea. But yeah, 80s was the hottest topic. Then Le Sserafim was also like a hot topic, I guess, but for kind of different reasons.
they were not issues that topic. We haven't discussed 1,000 times before.
I will say though, the second weekend did sound a lot more comfortable and confident in what they were doing. And they just, yeah. And I'm pretty sure that someone read the comments and someone like took note of all the criticism that they were receiving for the first weekend.
For those that don't know, they were criticizing their live vocals on stage.
Yeah.
Or lack of like vocals on stage.
Yeah. Was it lack of live vocals or just like vocal delivery?
I think it was the delivery. Both?
Yeah.
Because they had some added vocals in like later performances too, I think on the second week.
Yeah. And they also, moving on to like some more positive things, I guess.
Sorry.
Because honestly, like, okay, fine. They had a shitty performance during the first weekend. Like, let's move on. Like, the hate they received was like, people went overboard. But yeah, they debuted a new song, which sounds really good. And I kind of want them to release it already. It's called 1-800 Hot and Fun.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Didn't one of the members like do a little mini twerk or something?
A mini twerk?
Along with that song?
I don't remember.
Maybe not. Okay.
Well, the name dropped Beyonce in the song, though. So... Mm.
Oh, wasn't there this? It was last weekend, or the weekend before last, where they said like, "Coachella, you ready to make some fucking noise?" Like they curse or something. Okay.
They said that the second weekend during Smart. One of the members said, "Coachella, are you ready to shake some effing ass?" Which was funny because like they didn't really shake ass anyways.
Oh,
so.
What ass?
Exactly.
But I thought it was funny because at least with my own local K-pop store, Sarang Hello, they did a reel kind of making fun of that, where they said, like, you know, K-pop groups debuting at Coachella, and then they showed, like, each... They're pretending to be a different K-pop group, and each group would say something, like, really offensive as they came on stage, like, you know, like, let's get wasted! Like, pretending to be 80s, like, or whatever. Like, but I just thought it was funny, because it was just... You know, the comment just seemed really out of character for the idol.
Right.
You know, they're like, oh, is this what you think of Americans, that you just have to, like, be vulgar or something to go on stage?
Or you know, they feel so much more free to do that things because they couldn't get away with doing that in Korea.
Yeah.
I mean, the member who said that during the Seraphim was Ha Yeonjin, and she's, like, from the East Coast. So... She's, like, very comfortable with that. It wasn't, like, a out-of-character thing for her, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to give a shout-out to The Rose. I'm so proud of these guys. Their crowd was singing so loud, word for word. It was just a really proud moment to, like, watch them on stage.
I mean, but they had done Lollapalooza before this, so I feel like they had already kind of, like, proved their ability to play a giant festival like this with that performance. So for me, I was just like, oh, okay, just more of them being awesome.
And also, like, their songs are just made for festivals. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like it's just confetti music. So that's how I describe Coldplay's music. It's just, like, confetti music.
I love that.
And I'm like, yeah, like, and they remix some of their songs into, like, a little bit more EDM with the EDM touch. So, yeah, it was nice.
There was also a spicy moment between BB and Jackson.
Oh, yes.
I saw a few reels of that. They, you know, they're playing characters, but, you know, they got really close.
Have you seen the cover art for that single?
No.
You should go check that out. It's called Feeling Lucky, dropping this Friday. But yeah, the cover art is just as spicy as the performance was.
Okay. Fun. Stephanie, what's your hot issue? How you think? Well,
my hot issue, how you think, is that I taught at my first K-pop dance fitness party.
Woo!
This past weekend. Actually, yesterday. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yesterday.
Seems like a long time ago. So for those of you who don't know, in my other life, I teach a form of dance called Nia. It's like a flowy, gentle healing dance. And I saw in the Bay Area K-pop Facebook group that Peter runs that somebody, a Zumba instructor, is posting about this event coming up, a dance fitness party where a bunch of Zumba and UJAM instructors are going to teach all K-pop 90 minutes. So I jumped on that thread. I commented, said, hey, I don't teach those styles, but I teach something similar. Can I join? And Matt Ziegler, blessings to him, he said, yes, the more the merrier. So it actually blew up to like 9 instructors, 90 minutes, like 35 people in this studio in San Francisco called Dance House. And when I tell you, like, people never stopped moving, never stopped dancing. It was just banger after banger after banger of, you know, what I appreciated about this crowd and about this experience was that while the moves are definitely inspired by the point dances in the videos, it is an approachable, doable fitness class routine. You do not need to be a professional dancer. It's follow along choreography. You just follow the moves that are repeated by the instructor up front. And it's like really easy to jump in and get it. And it feels so satisfying when the hook comes and the point dance comes. And then we do that part over and over. Oh my gosh. I'm just like grinning ear to ear because it was a sold out experience. Everybody was smiling, sweating. My mom came up from LA, of course. And we're definitely going to do it again. So it's been a dream of mine since I started teaching dance to somehow teach like a K-pop themed class. I've kind of been sprinkling K-pop into my regular classes, 1 or 2 songs a week. But this, I yeah, it was a dream come true. So if you're in the Bay Area, join that Facebook group, the Bay Area K-pop group, and you'll learn about when the next one is. K-pop dance fitness party. Let's do it.
Right. And I love that it was like all generations, all genres. Mm-hmm. Like, wasn't your cool down song was NCT?
Dream in a Dream. Yeah. I'm going to be posting some video clips of the class in the Slack, so you can come see that there as well. No, we had what Gen 2 hit. The very first song was Fantastic Baby, of course.
Yes.
Right, but we had 2NE1, I Am the Best. We had GD and Top Good Boy, so like Gen 2 bangers for sure. And then all the way up to like Batter Up, Monsta X Shootout. There are just, a lot of my library was included in the playlist, which like everybody appreciated. Super fun.
So next time you guys are in the Bay Area, go check it out.
Check it out.
Stephanie, do you think this could be like a thing, like random dance?
I think it could be the next thing because like not all of us are trying to execute the video choreography as it gets more and more difficult. Every new song, every new group that debuts, it's just like more out of reach.
Yeah.
You know? And so while I see this rift coming, and it kind of relates to what we talk about regularly on the show about at K-pop parties that you DJ at the gigs, pretty much the only people dancing or who feel confident to dance are the professional dancers who know the entire routine. And like, there's nothing else you're allowed to do. Right.
Yeah.
So this experience, the dance fitness, the Zumba version, can open up another lane to where you get that satisfaction. Yes, I am dancing to the music. I know the music really well. I know what part of the song is coming and I know what to do. But you don't have to have the level of like professional skill as the cover dance groups. And we all deserve that experience.
Sounds really fun.
Yeah.
Although my only ask, Stephanie, is that, you know, again, it could be anything K-pop, right? So even OST music. I don't know if you remember forever ago, I shared when we were doing our Sky Castle episode that there is Korean Zumba to the Sky Castle OST.
Oh my God.
Yo.
So
that's your official request?
Yes. If you put that into the set list, I will drive out. I will.
Really? All right. Just for you. I'll try and get that in.
Look. Where there is a will, there is a way.
There sure is.
You can twerk to any song if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Just do like a drum, re-drum underneath it, like, you know, some percussive.
Yeah, yeah. Can it be the workout remix?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. No, you could totally make that happen. Yeah.
Okay, we'll do.
I really want to go to the next one, Stephanie. Like, I just as you described, like, I just started taking K-pop dance classes Tuesdays at Ray Studios in San Francisco.
Nice.
But I don't do it to necessarily get good at the K-pop dances. I just like for excuse to dance and move to music I like. And, you know, this seems to do it. Like what the Zumba theme thing that you're doing is.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let me know how
I can
help you do more of those.
I would love it to be not just a one-off thing, but like a regular class.
Right.
People could take. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the goal.
Yeah.
All right, Peter, I know you've got a doozy here.
Oh, so my, I'm actually just going to hand back over to Syed. So Syed.
Okay.
What is, in my opinion, this is the hottest item.
Okay, this turned into the hottest item last night.
Right, breaking news.
Breaking news.
Early this morning.
Yeah, and it's a developing news. So like things might happen.
Things might have changed by the time you were listening to this.
Exactly. So basically what happened was HYBE announced that they were launching an internal audit into one of their sub-labels known as Adore, which houses New Jeans, their biggest artist since BTS, inarguably. And it was basically, they had suspicion that Adore was trying to break away from the HYBE labels. And Minhee Jin, who is the CEO of Adore, and alongside other executives, they were trying to sort of buy out, I guess, Adore and like make it a separate entity. So right now, Minhyejin's share in Adore is, I believe, 20%.
Yeah, that's what's been reported so far.
Yeah. And the rest is owned by HYBE or Bang PD. And the HYBE also allegedly reported that Adore was trying to spread negative reports about other HYBE artists, leaking company secrets and dealings in an attempt to reduce the share value so that like the, what is it called? The supporters would like buy out Adore separately. And then Minhyejin, as she is, the messy CEO, she released a very lengthy statement last night.
Quickly clapped back.
Very quickly clapped back. Very long statement, which was a lot of words, but like didn't really say that much. She basically said that the tension between HYBE and Adore started with Eilat. Is that how you pronounce their name?
It's Eilat.
Eilat? Okay, yeah. Eilat, which is under the B-Lift label, which also houses N-Hyphen. And their debut and their concept, and a lot of fans already talked about it, that, you know, it's very similar to NewJeans. The concept photos were very similar. The style of music, the minimalistic production.
They get mistaken for NewJeans in public sometimes.
Yes, that as well. The hairstyles, I mean. So Minhyejin basically said that it was because they copied NewJeans. That's when the tension started. And in her statement, she basically just calls out B-Lift for, yeah, just plagiarizing the entire thing. And she did not hold back. Like, it was very explicit that she was calling them out. And she said that, you know, like, HYBE is just, you know, like trying to get the money. And they're not, you know, they're not working towards preserving NewJeans as the cultural moment that they are. They're just trying to replicate it over and over again. Which, I mean, I kind of agree with that. So, yeah, that's the whole thing as of now.
As of now.
As of now. I don't know if B-Lift is going to like release another statement or something, but fans are already speculating a whole bunch of things. There were speculations that allegedly Minhyejin leaked personal information of other HYBE artists, formed a negative public opinion for other artists. These are all alleged. Like, yes, there's no proof of it, but fans are just talking about how, you know, like prior to Adore in before 2021, like things like this did not happen. But since Adore formed and Minhyejin stepped into HYBE, like a lot of shady things have started happening. Yeah, what else happened?
Where's like the popular opinion landing on this right now? Like, who's the villain?
Just give me the answer. What side do I need to be on?
Okay, I'd be on the side of NewJeans and Eilat. Or Eilat, like, right?
Well, what side is that?
I just see two evils at this point.
I think, yeah, that's what like the common consensus is forming around, is like people are siding with NewJeans as a group,
yes,
and not with Adore, because people know that Minhyejin has been kind of shady in the past, like with when she was with SM and with the NewJeans debut with Cookie and all of those things, like. Fans have always had like a negative opinion about Minhyejin, but NewJeans as a group, like they have done such, they've been like a breakout artist, and they have like, you know, like really transformed the K-pop scene. And so with Eilat's debut, fans were obviously like, this is a blatant like copy paste of NewJeans. So I think fans are just siding more towards just the group and not towards like any of the CEOs or any of the labels.
Group singular or group both? Like groups, like both of them? Or,
well, everything turns into fan war in K-pop. So
yeah.
Fans are just like, yeah, Eilat is basically a copy paste. And Eilat fans are like, no, it's like so much different. And like, why are you attacking like little kids? Because Eilat is basically,
they are, yeah.
They're just young kids.
Yeah, but you're not attacking the idols. You're attacking the business strategy behind the formation of the group. That's what I think most people are critiquing, not necessarily the idols themselves, right? I think a lot of fans seem to struggle divorcing those concepts, but
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Like fans just take it too personally and they just like, they think that it, because the people are like pointing out the similarities between the two groups, they think that it's somehow reflecting on Islet, which Islet had no part in any of the production of their debut. Right. They did not write any songs. They did not produce, choreograph, style, anything. It's like, it's all B-Lift. So if someone is pointing out the similarities, it's pointing towards the people behind the scenes that are working for them.
Although commercially, it seems to be working for them, right? Like even true. If it is,
yeah.
If it is in fact true that it is derivative and copying everything that New Jeans is doing, it seems to work. So
yep, yeah. Just ask Blackpink.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, it worked for Lisa Ruffin too. Their latest release has been very minimalistic, very, I would say, New Jeans inspired. No, listen, okay. I love Le Sserafim. Like, this entire episode, people are going to think that I hate Le Sserafim. But, like, right. I think they work better with songs like Anti-Fragile and yeah. mm-hmm. The Great mm-hmm. Mermaid and, you know, like Fire wait, in the Belly. Like, those songs, for... like, better.
Wait. You're saying New Jeans would do better for Anti-Fragile?
Or? No.
No, like, Le Sserafim.
Le Sserafim, they do better with those kinds of songs instead of Easy and Smart and all of those.
Le Sserafim being another girl group under the HYBE label that is doing more similar concepts that you could compare to things that New Jeans is known for.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, not kidding. When Magnetic dropped, I listened to Magnetic by Islet, Cool With You by New Jeans, and Easy by Le Sserafim. I did not realize the song changed, okay? Ouch. Like, it went back to back. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Wow. Which I don't understand why HYBE is doing that. So.
Can we make predictions as to how we think that this is going to, to play? Because we have a very recent example of 50/50, you know, a small label that had a very successful group who we saw going to the stars and being having a very long career, but you know the people and the money and the company aspect of everything is what kind of ruined it for them. Do we think if Adore is no longer has Minhyejin as a CEO and New Jeans is still under Adore, do we think that they're still going to be on the track that they're on? Like, can New Jeans continue without Minhyejin?
Not according to her.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why I was asking, like, who's the villain here? I don't know. Maybe there was something to it around having a very strong internal advocate, you know, pushing hard for your success. Although it seems to be at conflict with the rest of the company. But, I don't know.
I mean, I do think, like, what really is the appeal of New Jeans? Because is it in terms of like the music or is it in terms of the visuals? Because if it's the music, then HYBE already has the producers. Mm-hmm. Like they already used them for Islet and they tried using them for V's layover album as well. So the producers are already there and they're probably going to make more music similar to what New Jeans has already done. Mm-hmm. And if it's the visuals, then if Minhyejin does leave, then that leaves it up to like, what are they like? Is the concept big enough for them to just replicate it over and over again? Mm-hmm. Or is it like a very Minhyejin thing that only she can come up with those kinds of concepts?
And we can guess by the popularity of Islet and Magnetic that it can be replicated and do well.
Yeah. I would say so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, I think Magnetic and Islet are... Because you were talking about 50/50. I think they are more similar to 50/50 than New Jeans is to 50/50.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. It was a hard comparison for them, but definitely for Islet.
Yeah, because even like just looking at their song on Genius, Magnetic is the only song that's extremely popular mm-hmm. of the album. Like the rest of the songs are not that, like people don't know the other songs. So yeah, they have a bit more similarity with like Cupid and 50/50 than with what New Jeans has created.
I don't know what production to offer PD Nam, Michaela. So I'm sorry. I'm gonna take a rain check on that.
We're just throwing it out there. I mean, like I said, this is a very developing story. You know, we have a whole audit to get through at the end of this, so we'll see how.
Yeah,
this
but
goes.
Even after that audit, who the hell knows what the actual reality is gonna end up being, right? Because everyone's gonna have their narrative. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's interesting that there's this dynamic of. There was the big three, right? You know, there was this dynamic of like these warring houses of K-pop and a Game of Thrones, if you will. And now that like K-pop has become HYBE, you know, it's all Targaryen now. It's just internal warring factions, you know, within the same company. And I think that's just kind of sad. Like I would have, if there was a competitive nature to it, I would have preferred it to be external, non-in-house companies. Like
HYBE versus SM last year?
Yeah, something like that, honestly.
I actually like that you pointed that out because a lot of people were talking about, in the statement that Minhyejin posted, they were talking about how they will do everything in their power to protect New Jeans, like as a concept and as a group from like being replicated. And it's interesting because technically both groups are owned by HYBE. So none of them can actually like sue each other for like copyright infringement or like other materials because it's all owned by HYBE, which is what like a lot of people predicted when HYBE started getting traction of like having so many sub labels within one giant conglomerate and like, you know, like this would not happen if there were two separate entities. Like B-Lift would not replicate New Jeans the way they did if B-Lift was independent and Adore was independent because Adore will sue. So yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic that I don't think we have ever seen in K-pop before.
Yeah, like it's not like 2NE1 debuting and then Cube releases 4 Minute. Like it's not.
Yeah.
But there's something about this business model, Syed, that each of these sub-labels, they have to ensure that they are commercially successful, right? So, like, or is that the case? Is that how their business arrangement is? Because if that's the case, that encourages them to take less risk and diversify less and just, you know, chase the lowest common denominator. Whereas, like, I don't know. Let's say like you're under maybe JYP as the alternate model. Like the company is making an investment and a gamble in something that may not pan out to be as good, but they're willing to make that risk because it's, you know, they're trying to diversify their offerings.
I think it's also like because they all got into HYBE, you know, like HYBE still hasn't like developed something completely new. Like these were all existing things that just joined HYBE. So like they still have their own sort of signature that they brought to HYBE. So that's why people were interested that, you know, like Pledis, for example, 17, like it's not HYBE that developed 17's image. Like they already had the image. And so if a new boy group is going to be, you know, like TWS which is the younger group of 17, they have a similar concept, but people are not accusing them of like, you know, you are copying 17 because it is like that signature of Pledis that is in TWS instead of just like a blatant copy. And so, which is why it's interesting that Adore and B-Lift, especially because B-Lift had N-Hyphen, which had a very different concept from any of the other boy groups. So it was just interesting, like that they would just, you know, take New Jeans and just, you know, run with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a really interesting and weird dynamic that I have never seen this before in K-pop.
Stay tuned next week. Oh, go ahead.
No, yeah, I was just gonna say, just watching this and watching how Minhyejin and Adore were able to put out a statement. Like, basically, this is really embarrassing for the larger company.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so the fact that she is not already fired means that she has some kind of leverage here. The fact that she's able to pop off and is not already gone means they're probably like negotiating with her, like, please leave. What do you want? That's like just from my experience in like tech industry and shakeups and stuff and saving face. I'm impressed actually that she must have more power, more leverage than I thought, because she's still there and popping off like this, humiliating Bang Si-hyuk and the larger company. So damn. I don't know if she'll be here that much longer. They're probably doing some negotiations in the back for her exit. Because this is wild.
Not just the statement. She did like a whole interview with a Korean outlet. Like that's
big
deal.
Yeah. Big power plays.
Well, do they have like a centralized PR team?
Yeah, like, from a PR perspective, what's your analysis?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I also work at another big conglomerate.
Right.
I was just thinking, like, that would not fly in our place.
Nope.
And there's usually, like, leadership supervising this stuff, you know? Such that, like, okay, we're going to combine these things or carve out different swimming lanes because we're not, like, Google cancels everything all the time. So,
no offense taken. I don't work there anymore.
Yeah, Google's really good at like starting and canceling things and like having
it's called sunsetting. Okay, we sunset all of our products.
Yeah, but they'll have like 7 different messaging apps or like 8 different like payment systems.
Just trying to keep up with the market, you know, and then falling behind and acting like we never did it.
Yeah, but you're. They cannibalize themselves. It's like, because apparently it's the only way to get promoted at Google. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so tune in next week updates on the
side note.
Adore versus Hybe story.
Right. Okay, Michaela, take us home. Last Hybe thing.
Very quickly, there is a K-drama out there called Queen of Tears. And can I just say, I would like everybody to watch it because it has been a while since I've had a show bring me up and break me down to tears and have me coming back for more so much as this show.
It like, should be called Viewers in Tears.
It just literally, I'm in literal tears. Like I'm literally crying with these characters almost every other episode, especially now that we're getting closer to the finale. Oh my God.
Wow. This sounds great. I can't wait to tune in.
But I'm just saying like, it is one of those shows where they are just 100% on all aspects, on the emotion, on the story, on the execution of the story. Like it's not just like, you know, watching two beautiful people fall in love with each other or fall out of love and fall in love again. It's like there's so many aspects to the way that they are doing the show that are just so amazing to watch unfold. Like one of my favorite things that Kim Soo-hyun, the male lead of the show, said that like the way they subtly foreshadow so many things throughout the show is like done in such a smart way where it's not like and when they are finally revealed, it's just so much more impactful.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's got really more than just beautiful people and like a spunky girl reluctantly falling in love with a rich, handsome guy. And then second male lead, you know, optimistically thinking he's got a shot. And then girl kind of, okay. So it's got all of that. But okay, let me ask you this, PDM. Mm-hmm. How long does it take to watch? Because I only have so many hours.
Well,
the K-pop dad perspective.
There are 16 episodes, and each episode is give or take an hour.
Okay, so, that's a nice short one. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Hour-long episodes are long, y'all.
But Netflix has recently started English dubbing them. So if you want, you could just...
No, I can't do that. No.
Ever.
Who do you take me for, Michaela?
Exactly.
Like, oh my gosh, I am offended that you would even insinuate that I would consider the dub of anything. Oh my gosh.
One of the reasons why I'm also talking to this, not just because I want to talk about the K-dramas that I'm watching, is like, it's like... it's broken the record of like the most, like it's the number two of all K-dramas as like
it
the
surpassed
most watched
Goblin.
In the whole country. Like it, so yeah. It's not just something that us international fans are tuning in for. Like Korea is tuning into this story. And it's like, it's a, again, it's not, you know, these young kids in high school or these young people in college. These are either grown married folks trying to figure each other out and figure out whether they want to stay married.
Yeah. I will just say though, Peter, that it is a bit of a heavy drama at some points. So like, it's not one of those dramas that you can like just binge watch the entire thing in one night.
Oh God, no.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Oh, like emotionally heavy.
Yeah, it's emotionally heavy. It's also like content-wise heavy.
Don't binge it until 4 a.m. and then you're crying tears.
Yeah, also because it's not done yet. So it's not done yet. And the cliffhangers are insane now. So. But yeah, we didn't, hold on. Do you think
I can say without spoilers?
Do you think?
Okay.
It's like, because it surpassed Goblin, right? Like people were talking about the cultural impact. Do you think it's at that level of Goblin?
Oh, 100%.
Really?
Yes. Like, okay. And this is more of a show that I can get behind. Goblin has so many problems.
That's true.
It's not my favorite.
Yeah, it was. And I feel like, you know, the bromance of that show is what really kind of like propelled it the most. I think they fell in love with that aspect, not necessarily
the
main
lead,
couple.
The side characters,
This is one where every character, I think, has their own story and is a really like fully developed story. And you really, you want to see what everybody is doing at the end of the show.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Does it star a evil stepmother who's gonna try to like buy off?
It stars an evil mother.
Yeah, okay. There's evil stepmothers. There's evil mothers. There's mothers-in-laws. There's
mother-in-law. That's what I meant to say.
Fake mothers who are hired by real mothers to be mothers.
And they're gonna pay off to stop them from dating their son, sort of thing.
Yes.
Okay, so it's a K-drama by definition.
Yes, it's still a K-drama.
And can I just say, the family is like rich. Like, not just like, oh, they are like fancy rich. They're like proper rich family.
Well, that's how these things are always supposed to go, right? It's part of the fantasy. It's like, you ever read these like romance novels? It's like, it's always, never mind. Okay, I'm going to stop myself there.
But the difference here is like, because this is like, the scale of Netflix, they're actually able to really show genuine mind-boggling
wealth. Doesn't seem tacky.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do a full-on episode.
Would you K-drama like to, cast.
Yeah,
we've been like trying to do that K-drama cast for so long.
I'm down. I'll watch it.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll try watching it, too.
Subscribe.
You sold me, even though it meets all the cliches. Okay, daybok or not. So are you daybok or not on this thing? You can interpret it however you want. And then cause like half the listenership to get angry at you for voting the wrong way. Because they're going to take your assessment out of context, even though you're narrowing it, really assessing it one way or another.
Are you speaking from experience there, Peter?
Yeah, maybe. Perhaps. Okay, so are you daybok or not on Lay's Psychic music video?
Oh, daybok.
Daybok.
I don't like daybok. Oh, okay. You know what, valid? Your opinions are your opinions.
You're like maximum daybok?
Oh, I'm maximum daybok.
All right.
Like he could have put out like just like 3 minutes of like anything, and I would have been daybok. I just love one, seeing more of him in his solo career, especially after he's been kind of focusing on his business and creating his own idol groups, and then him promoting in Korea is just so it warms my heart.
True,
that's the highlight of his comeback.
Context matters.
Him on M Countdown and in Kagayo and Music Core, I was living for that. And like, the man is old. And he did not know that this, listen, I love my hacks, but like, okay. So he did his first Korean music show, like since like what, 2016 or something.
Yeah.
And ending fairies was not a thing back then.
Oh.
And The man forgot that he had to do an ending fairy on the first time he was on M Countdown. Like, he literally just turned around at the end of the thing and walked off.
Did not get the memo. That's hilarious.
But then he redeemed himself with the next music show because he did, like, the heart and, you know, like, all the cute stuff that they do. So, was it like, the funniest thing ever for me?
Yeah, the rules have changed since I was in the game. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I guess I'm Daybuck as well. Like, this, you know, I want to say that the music video itself, the aesthetic of it is not what we often see in K-pop. Like, I don't know. Like, sometimes you can tell there's, like, some, like, visual effects and backgrounds and cinematic styles that are popular in K-pop, and this seems like it's not what you would usually get, was my impression.
Yeah.
Okay, are you Daybuck or not on, who out of this? ONF, By My Monster?
Yes.
Daybuck.
All the way.
They're bringing back the second gen sound with this one. Like, they're ONF is finally having their moment with this one. Like, it's just such an exciting time.
Yeah.
To be a Fuse.
Light Daybuck on this name as well.
Is it
this
Gen
is going to be
two?
My head replay. Heat replay this week.
This feels closer to like Infinite, like Gen 3.
Oh yeah, Infinite.
Oh yeah, I guess.
Yeah, they're like the early
Gen 3.
Late Gen 2.
Yeah, that era. Yeah. Of K-pop.
They also brought out a whole orchestra for one of their live performances, which was beautiful.
We love an orchestra.
Yeah, and like they also went viral on Korean gay Twitter this past week. So
because they've recently come back from the military, and they are
ow.
Men. They're men now. That's what.
It was funny because they tweeted saying, like, it was a Korean person who tweeted in Korean. Google Translate butchered their translation.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
And so fans thought that they were saying that he looked fat.
This is a member Wyatt. Oh, no. He was shirtless on stage, and there was a circle around like the bottom of his like his abdomen, or like the love handle area, which was not a love handle. It was like it was lovely.
Yeah, it was just like the fan was just being, you know, a fan, and international fans were
they
what are you talking
things,
about?
But because the translation made it seem like she was like, you know, shaming him for the way his body looked.
We have to move on. Okay, so are we Daybuck or not?
take it to the Slack.
So yes, I think we're all Daybuck. I'll say sure. Why the hell not Daybuck? Okay, Boys Like Story, Daybuck or not?
Not.
No.
Ooh. I was expecting like actual homage to Earth, Wind, and Fire. Didn't get it.
Disco. Yeah.
I mean,
September.
I like one of their B-sides more than the title track, so no from me.
Yeah, I'm Daybuck, to be honest. This was almost my favorite play.
Yeah, I'm Daybuck on it as well. I just like the song. But I would say I am also disappointed by the lack of September Earth, Wind, and Fire homage disco. Yeah. Okay, are you Daybuck or not on Rise? How do you say their name again?
Rise.
Okay. Yeah.
They're in their Shiny View Part 2, Impossible.
I liked it.
FX Four Walls. Yeah. Yeah. No, it is.
It was a really good song. Yeah.
Yeah. I am so Daybuck on that song. I love that song. I played it at the club.
Sound.
Yeah. I played it last weekend. What's funny is that I played it, and then like 10 minutes later, someone's like, hey, can you play this song? I'm like,
oh my God,
where were you? They're like, well, can you play it again for me? I'm like, no.
No.
I was already in trouble for playing it at a K-hip-hop night. So, okay. Are you Daybuck or not on the U.S. increasing visa fees for international artists?
What?
Not. Not. We are how many months away from KCON and they pulled this shit?
Exactly.
They're targeting us.
And it's going to like show up in like with companies that have like multiple groups and like who gets a tour now. The favoritism is going to show up.
And then all these groups from smaller labels, like we were in this glorious era where all these like debut groups could tour in the US after debut and like build their fandom. Like, you know, Blitzers and TAN and like all these people from small labels.
They're staying home. Virtual concerts again.
Hang on, guys. like, I need a fact check. How's that NCT song go? Fact check. Like,
check the.
Yeah, yeah. That's like the theme song of like this political election. Like, you know, we need that song as the fact check. Okay. Anyway. But like the fees are not increasing a lot. It's going from like 160 to 185.
It's the principal, Peter.
Okay. But also, okay, it's not just wild for the artist, because like the artist needs to have their team behind
all
them,
the
makeup, hairstyle, all of those things. So it's going to like limit groups from like thinking about like, can we afford this or not? Especially because like a lot of smaller groups, they come here, they don't like sell out, but they still perform. They still do their whole round. Now it's going to be a bit more like, can we do this? Can we like, you know, make up that money that we spent in the tour by, if they don't sell, then they're just going to be like, no, we're not doing this.
You know what? This is going to exacerbate the issues that you, Peter, harp on the most about the low standards of K-pop concert quality, about like the low budget, quality nature of these shows. We're going to start seeing more of that minimum viable concert.
I see, because they're going to have to bring over fewer people to produce something. Okay. A difference, a $20 fee makes. Or an increase in $20, excuse me.
That's
from
right.
160 to 185.
All right, so we'll see if our fears actually come to fruition, or if Peter is correct, then it's like not going to make much of a difference.
Overblown just a little bit,
okay,
so
well,
whatever.
One of them has already been postponed. Did you guys hear about
who?
Seo In-guk?
Yeah, So In-guk, his first fan meeting
and they cited visa issues. He's one person, and they cited visa issues in their statement. So I love that company, but like obviously it's like they're struggling with that aspect.
Is it the fee, or is it just issues of just not stuff getting approved fast enough and that sort of thing?
I feel like it's both, but
it could be both.
I don't know. I've seen from like a lot of like AI academic conferences, like the biggest issue is just like getting the State Department to like approve these visas fast enough. Like, you know, you
and like I said, it doesn't help that they're trying to change shit.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, we all know, Leah, from the, you know, whatever the State Department's perspective, they can either hire on more people to approve applications on time, or they can raise the barriers to entry to solve that problem, that there's too many applications and they're not processing them fast enough.
See,
I'm just saying that might be what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, I hate the raising the barrier to entry. That's not a good thing in my opinion, but like, I would like to see them use technology to approve stuff faster or just lower the bar. Like, what are we really afraid of? Honestly.
Also, it's just artists performing, you know, it's not like someone's like coming over and like going to stay here forever.
Okay. Watch all the conservatives go for our podcast now. All right. Ooh. So party. All right. Are you dead luck or not on Waterbomb LA?
Not.
What do you mean not? Hell just, to the day bot.
Yes.
Are you worried about water?
No.
Supply.
Okay. Well, we'll hear you out.
Maybe if the venue is like a baseball stadium or something. Like, I'm just like, logistically, one, yeah. I don't even think it's going to happen, to be honest.
I think it's going to happen.
What's wrong? Well, do we know the venue?
We don't.
No.
But the thing is, like, if it's Waterbomb LA, okay, we have a general sense of like where it could possibly be. But like, if we want to see Waterbomb to the scale that we have seen in Japan, in Korea, like there's just so many limitations for that, especially in California.
Yeah, that was my biggest concern.
That's no big deal.
Well, not just the drought, like logistically getting the water. Like, yeah, the water is coming from the river, but like how are you going to get the water to the event? Like, where is the water literally coming from? Like, are you going to tap into
the
line?
Water parks.
Like, yeah, like, is there any water park venue that could handle a concert like this? Like, I don't know. I'm not from LA, so I don't know all of the venues.
I'm just imagining.
You might have to drive out of the city a little bit.
Actually be Waterbomb LA. It might be like Waterbomb Santa Clarita or whatever.
Oh, it could very well happen out there. Does anyone remember Cappy?
Oh, the Kenny song?
Wow. That's what I'm imagining this turning into at a water park, you know, SNSD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a nut. I'm sorry.
Dang.
I think everyone's looking forward to this party, like, honestly. And I think
a lot of people were anticipating there.
Yeah. And also, it's like a better 88 rising, you know, or better head in the clouds.
I will say, though, K-pop fans need to give up the delusion that K-pop groups are going to show up at this thing.
Oh, man. Yeah.
People think that, you know, like Stray Kids and ATEEZ are going to show up. Like, oh. No, okay? Nah. It's like Waterbomb is not K-pop.
Not idol.
For the adults. Idol.
Exactly.
Although, you know, Hyuna, girl, Sunmi, and...
I mean, like soloists.
Grown
yes.
soloists.
Yeah. Soloists,
who are
yes.
not under lock and key anymore.
Hey, can we? Sorry, this is a tangent. What about this like very gendered like wet t-shirt dynamic? A water bomb.
For the guys, it's no t-shirt.
Okay, like so no, I guess so long as there's equity in that, like it's okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. If you're participating, you know what this is about. Mm-hmm. You know what to wear. You know what we're looking at. All across the genders.
We need a viral fan cam of Sunmi and her dancer again.
Oh
yes.
Chahyun.
We need an update, a rematch.
Okay. Yeah. So in the vein of predictions, sorry for going extra long in this episode, but like what would be your dream performer pairing incident scandal?
Incident.
Well, we're writing an article about this at Genius Korea, so...
Ooh. Okay.
I would love if they want to bring, like, K-pop groups to the show, I would love, like, a second-gen group to make a comeback. Mm. Like, maybe Highlight or something.
Ooh.
But that's, like, a very wild prediction, so...
I would like to see... like BB and BM collab up there.
Oh, that's a good one.
They can actually grind, right?
Yeah. Versus Jackson. I don't know. Jackson and BB just felt like brother and sister for some reason. I don't know why. I like them both, but like together it feels wrong.
Yeah, my answer really is just Card, to be honest. Like,
Card is like good.
Jivu.
Ah.
See, Card would
see,
kill
still,
it.
I'm still not. No, I'm holding.
No, you're winning her over.
You're not going to get me with the
can't resist.
Titillating ideas we can get.
Come over to this side.
Michaela.
The water's fine.
Is it?
Yes. It's nice and warm.
I'm going to bring a test kit.
Yeah. No,
That's another thing people were talking about. Oh my God. Hygiene.
What? Really? With water bomb? In what way? In what sense?
It's going to be super clean because everyone's like covered in water.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's there to worry about?
Okay. Next, let's move on.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. TXT cereal. Oh man, I'm so debunked for this. Are you guys debunking
on TXT officially collaborating with General Mills Corporation, which is like the big American cereal company?
Someone at the gig last weekend, they brought the Reese's Puffs cereal box.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. People are like just taking it to like K-pop events.
But like the whole box, like it. Not just like the cutout
whole
part.
Box. The whole box. It was a 420 themed event.
No, we're
take
just
that for what you will.
Reaching new levels of K-pop winning at capitalism. Like first we had BTS and McDonald's. Now we have TXT General Mills, TXT Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Like, I don't know how you can get more K-pop capitalist than this. It's impressive.
I mean, I just like it when it's like super cheesy, hammy.
It's so cheesy.
It's also like very K-pop. Like it just feels very K-pop thing to do. The ridiculousness of it.
And it's like the K-pop thing to do in America. It's like, we've always seen this in like, very silly like K-drama ad placement sort of stuff. But now it's like, you're getting that except here in the United States in real life. Real life for us, I guess.
Yeah, it must be fun to grow up as a kid right now if you're into K-pop. There's so many more touch points for you.
Yeah, us, like Stephanie, Gen 2 fans.
Yeah.
See, but I need them to get like a magic spoon because I can't eat this. Like, I'm on a diet. Like, I can't be serious.
I haven't picked up one of those cereals in so many years.
It's been ages, and I'm like, I'm trying to look good for KCON. I'm sorry, TXT. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're all Tae-bak on that.
I'm not. Until, again, magic spoon deal. Come on.
Okay. All right. Michaela's holding out.
80 people quit SM Entertainment. SM Entertainment is on fire.
Got it.
Yeah. Tae-bak or not?
I'm Tae-bak. I'm Tae-bak. That pink evil company can burn in hell.
Let the fire burn.
Ooh.
Listen, I love the groups. I am not a company stan. Like, that pink evil company can go.
I thought it was so funny. There was, what's her face? Wendy, Red Velvet. Someone said on her live stream, like, oh, I want to work at SM.
She said no. She made the ugliest face. She was like, no. Well, like, why?
She's not allowed to say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm Tae-bak on people getting out however they can.
Like people, you know, allegedly people leaving the company. They've got debts here in LA for that, you know, SM Entertainment Square they were trying to build. Like, apparently none of the contractors have been paid for whatever they've built.
Yeah.
And this was, again, they started this kind of before that era of when they were trying to hand over some of the company to Kakao, and so that's kind of like the beginning of the end, really.
Okay, so
yeah, this was from like Super M time.
Yeah,
when they were trying to
so
like have that
changed.
U.S. expansion.
Tae-bak. Let's keep this rolling.
Tae-bak on the fire. Okay, are you Tae-bak or not on ATEEZ's tour?
Guys, pray for me. Pray for me.
Is there a choice? Hella, Tae-bak, yes. I would love to go. I've never seen them live.
The ticketing is going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my group chat's already blowing up. People got the backdoor box reservations for
Oakland Arena. The theater boxes, man. Yeah,
which is sold separately from the General Mission concert tickets. You buy it through the venue, and that has already been sold out. So here in Oakland.
Peter, how are we going to go? What's our plan?
Pretend to be press.
What do you mean pretend? We are press. Okay, got it.
If wink, y'all wink, get nudge, press nudge. Access, you have to ping me.
Okay. Yes, of course.
No, I don't like that dynamic. I hate it. I don't want to pretend to be press for this access journalism thing.
You can stay at home.
Thing.
I'm going. This is Stephanie reporting live for the K-pop cast. Shaking my ass.
And I have sold out. I have sold out. That's a senior in my idols. Okay.
Yeah, back to you in the studio.
This is PDNIM currently making it bouncy at the ATEEZ concert.
Reporting to you from outside the stadium.
I'm just honestly so disgusted by this idea of access journalism and K-pop. It's like, it's not actually journalism. It's just like elevated fan access masquerading as being journalism.
But we can benefit
that's what
from
they
it.
Want. Let's be honest. That's what they want. They want you guys to like post on TikTok and like talk about
it. But it'll be genuine.
Because if they give you press access, they're not going to give you photography. Mm-hmm. You're going to get like a review ticket, which is basically like you can think about it and write about it, or you can talk about it.
which we were going to do anyway. We are on the up and up, Peter.
Don't say that. No, because then they're like, well, then why do I need to give you a ticket if you're just going to cover it anyway?
Okay. Scratch
Anyways,
that.
Pray for me. I'm going to be trying for tickets. So.
Okay.
I am Daybok on the Bay Area leaking all of these tours, so I might have like some time to save up for possibly getting there a ticket. So that's great.
Well, it was this time for the 18th tour. It wasn't just Oakland Arena. It was like all the venues said, "Oh, look, it seems that 80s are going to announce tour dates. I wonder."
Yeah, how did y'all find out?
All these venues would tweet it out. It's like, you guys know something. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't be tweeting if it wasn't going to be at your venue.
Not slick.
Yeah. It's so silly and so uncoordinated. Okay, let's just move on. So I guess we're all Daybok on ATEEZ.
Yeah.
And their tour. And I am so Daybok on ATEEZ's growth, honestly, and their momentum. Mm-hmm. They were really popular at my gig this last weekend. Okay, Daybok or not and Cherry Bullet disbanding.
I'm so sad.
I guess not.
We barely knew you.
Yeah.
Okay.
They gave us one of the best songs in 2021 with Love So Sweet. Mm-hmm. Such a good song.
Yeah, they had some really good songs.
And the best Light Stick.
And the best Light
Stick. I can get behind that as well. It seemed like it had the opportunity to add another function, but
right?
They did not.
They would have
it.
Been great at Water Bomb. I'm just saying. The light stick could have, you know.
I just looked up the Cherry Bullet light stick. It's pretty great. It's like a toy gun.
In a sea of so many sticks with circles on top of them, they are very innovative.
Yep.
It's got texture. Okay, so we're all not on Cherry Bullet disbanding?
Yeah.
Why? Why did they disband? Said what? You've got the scoop on this. Like, what?
Well, they're... contracts were up for negotiation and turns out that only 3 of the members re-signed with FNC and the rest of the members left.
FNC.
So it just like boiled down to like them just, you know, disbanding. 2 of the members are active in Chinese C-pop groups right now. So they do have successful careers over there. They probably don't want to come back.
Don't blame them.
And I think one of the members is like popping off as an actress right now, so she's doing good. Yeah, it just like fizzled down to like they didn't really have that much activities, promotional things, anything. So
I guess how did they get to the point where they didn't have enough comebacks? Like what is because like each one did not do commercially as well? Is that the theory?
No, I mean, okay, so 2 of the members went on to do survival shows in China. So they were like on a brief hiatus.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
Then one of the members like got really popular as an actress. So she started getting more roles. So it just sort of became like this weird hiatus moment. And then they had their anniversary and negotiation, like the contract renewal negotiations. And so I guess like the members just decided like, they are better off elsewhere than at FNC. So, yeah. I don't know. There isn't some sort of like dark, twisted.
Yeah. But like, you know, for the company to invest so much in the concept and the development, like it seems like a wasted, you know.
I don't know what FNC is doing. They are a mess. So,
yeah.
P1 Harmony is like the only group that's doing
a mess.
Especially with their girl group. So, They were never really a company that truly fostered a successful girl group in the first place.
Hey, AOA, they were pretty good.
Where are they now, Peter?
They disbanded, like literally going up in flames.
Yeah, but they were at least profitable. You know, it was worth it, even though it ended in fire.
Okay. All right, we'll take that back. Yes, they were... AOA was one example of a successful girl group from FNC Entertainment.
I think their focus more is on P1 Harmony and their latest boy group that just debuted. So, because SF9 is in military era. Ampersand, yeah, that one.
Ampersand 1.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think they're focusing more on P1 Harmony right now. P1 Harmony is, like, on the brink of, like, breaking out.
Yeah, they're doing great. I played them last weekend and they went over really well. Okay, last Daybok or not item. Are you Daybok or not?
High note.
On BB Girls disbanding.
Wait a minute.
They did disband. No. They did not disband.
Wait, what's the news here? Hang on.
They left their company, right?
They left Warner Music.
One member left.
One member left, leaving their group, or their company. I mean, they can't catch a break. Well, they had a break, I guess, but...
Yeah.
Well, also, like, do we know any artists that have done well under Warner Music Korea? Because Jamie signed on to Warner Music Korea, and everyone was like, oh, she's going to have, like, a glitter pop woman.
Well, like...
I don't think anyone does good with Warner Music Korea.
I'm sad to see that Yoo Jung is leaving BB Girls. Wave Girls, BB Girls, whatever. She was the Squirtle.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it for this episode of the K-Pop
Cast. That's our show, guys.
Plug your things. So, Sayed.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It was really fun to be back on the K-Pop Cast. You guys can find us at Genius Korea on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. And yeah, we translate all your favorite K-pop songs into different languages, and we talk about behind the scenes of the making of K-pop songs and do a lot of fun music coverage. I also want to plug in Ashley's podcast, Album A Day, which just had its 5th year anniversary, and they're back. We're doing a special collaboration with her to talk about some of the lesser known Korean releases that happen every month. So yeah, be sure to check that one out. Thank you.
I'm at DJ Peter Lowe. Follow me for DJ gigs all the time.
I'm Stephanie. You can find me on Instagram at catchlight27 or chat it up with me on the K-pop cast Slack.
Or at your next Zoom class.
Oh, yeah, my next Zumba class. K-pop Zumba dance class. Fitness Zumba class. Yeah.
And you can catch me at Stephanie's next Zumba class. But I am also at PDNim in the K-pop cast Slack, and you can find all of us in the K-pop cast Slack.
And if you want to help chip in for editing costs on the show, we're all volunteer. You can click on my Ko-fi link. Link in the episode description.
We are once again asking for donations to support our dreams.
We're once again counting on you to support.
For the first time this round.
Oh, for the first
funding,
time.
Funding for our press passes to go to AT.
No.
Sorry, no. Literally,
editing
guys.
Costs. It's all on the editing.
Shout outs to Philip.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.